1-2, test 1-2. Miss Selena, where is she? Is she in the house? You like my Father's Day gift from Mrs. R? They're called Run Happy. Woo! Amen. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes you got to dance yourself happy. You know, true praise will get you there. It's not just something that we do to be doing it. It can be that, but from the heart that's deep, it is something more than that. So it releases something in your life. And so whether you're running happy or praising happy, listen, do it as unto the Lord this morning. That's what we're doing. We're praising the one who has set us free from all these chains here this morning. Will you not say that he is worthy of your best praise today? Not a smidgen of praise. And a lot of times, we're stingy with the praise when it comes to life being stingy with us. When we are down on things, we praise God less. But the Bible teaches us, really, that's when we're to praise him more. Okay? Because true praise really changes things this morning. And I'm going to ask Mrs. R to come, and she's going to open the word to us today, and she's going to open with a scripture that we're going to be speaking from, I think, the Lord willing. The Lord and Sister Billie Jean, I saw her shouting through the church today. She's back for the first time. That's pretty good, isn't it? So if you're here today for the first time, is there anybody here first time that's never been here before? Let's give them a big, warm Lost Creek welcome, okay? Come on, Lost Creek style. Come on, Lost Creek style. We only have one style here. It's whole hog or nothing, okay? All right. Come on, Mrs. R, come and share that powerful scripture, and we'll look at it then. You sure can. Amen. Let me have that mic. Sorry.
Believe it or not, I never know when he's going to say, come do this, do that. But I, the Lord just gave me this verse a minute ago, and I shared it with him. So I'm hoping this is the one he wants.
Yeah.
If not, it's from the Bible, so it's good, isn't it? Okay. All right. From the book of Psalms. The Lord is a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who love him.
Amen. 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 The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is a father to his children, showing compassion toward them. And we're going to look at that word this morning. Well, we're going to think about a father for just a minute. I do have a couple of father stories to tell you. You know, I've often shared with you throughout the years that raised in a dysfunctional home where a lot of alcoholism and abuse was there. But, you know, my dad loved his kids. And he, one day, driving down the road, down a little hollow road that he lived up, he was in his 80s, I guess, and I was sitting beside him. And he was saying, he told me that he loved me. That was an awesome thing. You know, and my dad was a hard worker. He was a coal miner. He worked in the mines, Kathy. You relate to that, don't you? Your story relates to mine, right? And so, but he could never hold his liquor. He could never handle his liquor. And it got the upper hand on him. And it became an entrapment. Became a chain to him. But later on, people said of George, if God could save George Reynolds, he could save any man. That's what they said. They said, when George comes home, even the dogs will tell the difference that he got saved. Okay? Because, you know, the thing is, he told me, driving down that little dirt road, he was saying that he had failed me as a father and that he loved me and that he didn't have the best example for him to go by. But we had good moments throughout our life. There was a lot of bad moments. And the bad feelings I had toward my dad at times were bad feelings because of the things that were inflicted upon my mother, whom I loved also. So you see what a predicament that I was caught in. You know, there are times that he did take me fishing, took me to the Sweet 16 basketball tournament in Louisville, Kentucky, and we did things together. But I remember as a small child, I remember walking up a dark road up toward our grandparents, and I remember walking up the road, and you know how kids are that run behind the parents. They get into stuff. But we don't hold the flashlight. They hold the light, you see. And the deal is, you can get in trouble that way, you know. On a dark country road, trees hanging over like big canopies, big rocks in the road, and all kinds of vermins running around on the road. You can get in trouble there. But, you know, we were lagging behind playing, cutting up. And I remember Dad stopping up the road and turning the flashlight around and said, come on, you all. Catch up. I'm shining the light to you. You know, that's the way our Heavenly Father does us. He's constantly turning around in our situation and holding the light to us and saying, come on, children, catch up. Come on. Come on. I'm going to wait here till you catch up. Most of our experiences in life is God continually waiting on us to catch up. Waiting on us. And that is compassion. And some people may not even see it that as compassion. But it is. It's compassion. It truly is. I relate to that story that Mrs. R was talking about just a minute ago about the father who stepped in the snow. And you know, back in the day, we don't have snows anymore. Really, we don't have snows anymore. But I'm talking about big snows, okay? And I found myself out walking with him somewhere. I don't know. I was going maybe to Mamaw's, Papaw's with him. I don't know where we were going, but we were out walking. And I remember him making big steps and looking back and say, step in my steps. That literally happened to me. And you know, that's the way the Father is to us. He goes before us. Are you here with me today? I said, he goes before us. He makes the way for you. You know, the thing is, sometimes as children, we can get a little arrogant. We think we make our own way. But God is the one who made the way for you and I. He goes before us, and he turns around and says, come on, catch up. Step in my steps. Amen. And as fathers, earthly fathers, we want to do the same thing for our kids. I remember one funny story, and I shared this because Kathy and I was a young couple married, traveling over to a place that some people have never even heard of in this part of the country, but it's called Pippa Passes, Kentucky, and there's people probably never even heard of that place before. But that is the site of a college called Alice Lloyd College, and that Kathy and I was attending there. But we were traveling over the mountain in a little Volkswagen Doodlebug, and it became so foggy. and I don't know if you've even heard this story or not, it became so foggy that we couldn't even see. I'd have to roll the window down to that little bug and stick my head out. I become infuriated in the fog. I became frustrated in the fog. I became infuriated in the fog. And I believe that this fog that we're in today has created a lot of frustration. Don't you? Am I by myself today? I feel like I'm sort of preaching to myself. Well, I am. But I need you to listen to me, because I feel like the fog creates that. And that night going through the fog, I was young, I don't know, 19, 20 years old. Huh? Yeah, you were, and Kathy was in the car with me. Well, we were going to school. We were going to school. Did I say something wrong? I don't know. Forgive me. But anyway, I couldn't see where I was going. It's dark and it's so foggy that the windshield wipers couldn't fix the problem. And even my lights couldn't fix the problem. I was in Dad's car. You know where this is going, don't you? I was in Dad's car. Hunter, this is a good one for you, brother. You got to be careful when you're driving in the fog, okay? But I couldn't see, so I become frustrated. You know what I did? I'm going to tell you a story on me. I took my fist and I rammed it through the windshield, which did not solve my problem. I promise you, the fog didn't go away. The fog didn't disappear when I pushed my fist through that windshield. What I had to do was pay for Dad's windshield. I did learn that lesson. Be careful where you run your fist. Did you all get a hold of that? I became so messed. I got so messed up in my anger that I couldn't see where I was going because of the fog. And I thought my anger moment would just take care of it. And I just run my finger. And you know, my brother-in-law, which always covered me, him and my sister, and Dad didn't know this. He probably knows it now. But Dad didn't know that at that time. And so he didn't know that I broke his windshield out. I never did tell him that I broke his windshield out. But my brother-in-law and my sister bailed me out. And they helped me because we didn't have any money. And I don't remember what it cost back then. But he located a used window from a wrecked car. And we put it back in there. And it was all good. And I'm glad. Because I didn't want to meet the wrath of my dad breaking his windshield out. But you know, God covers us, don't he? I said, God covers us, don't he? When you mess up, God covers you, doesn't he? Come on. When you feel like you ain't no count, excuse the English, when you feel like you ain't no count, God covers you, doesn't he? Come on, that ought to do something to you. Right there, God's got your back. He's got your back. Now what have I done? And I love my dad. My dad was gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. In a little Methodist church. God gave his heart and life to Jesus. Went into the ministry. A few years after that. And pastored the church, and mostly throughout the ministry, supported me and my ministry, and the ministry that God called us to. So he come alongside the dad and the father that never walked together. You've got to get a hold of this. Put down your religious pride and get a hold of this morning. The father and the son who didn't walk together because we were on different planets, different worlds. But God joined that world one day when my dad gave his life to Jesus. And I'm telling you, he wasn't perfect. And my mom still fussed, but they didn't fight. He said this. He said, I didn't quit drinking. I just switched fountains. Did you hear me? He said, I didn't quit drinking. I just changed fountains. And I started drinking from another fountain. And because of that great grace and compassion of a loving God toward my earthly dad, he restored. There's a time that I got up in his face, and I regret that. And that caused a lot of dysfunction in my home. And Kathy, we were young, but I was 18 probably, and nobody couldn't tell me what to do. Let me say that again. I was 18, and nobody could tell me what to do. You know why? Because I was a successful basketball player. I got scholarships, and everybody looked at me, and everybody admired me. And when I walked in, everybody come around me, and those kinds of things. And I had a circle of friends, and who led me, who wasn't always leading me into good things. And my dad tried to correct me one day because I was hanging out with one of my pot-smoking friends. And so Dad says, you don't need to do this. You're going down the wrong road. Now, my dad didn't always have grace when he said stuff. He probably didn't say it that compassionately. I don't remember. But he knows my dad, and they were really close too. But the thing is, I didn't want to listen to his counsel. And because he would tell me what to do and tell me I couldn't do something. But you see, he had my back. He knew. He knew the road that I was taking. Oh, yeah, because he'd been down that road. He'd been down that road. The word says, he knoweth the road that I take. He knows the path that I take. The Father knows the road you take. And many times, he throws his arms up like that. This is what compassion and grace does. Compassion and grace gets before you and throws its arms up and says, don't go down that road. It's a one-way street to destruction. It's not going anywhere. Sin will take you further than you want to go, and it'll make you pay more than you want to pay. Did you hear what I said? I don't think some of you are listening to me. I said sin will take you further than you want to go. I promise you, sweetie, it'll take you further than you want to go. And it'll cause you to pay more than you ever wanted to pay in your life. My dad knew that. But I knew everything. I knew more than he did. Some of us here think we know more than God. Oh, yeah, we got it all figured out, God. We got it all figured out, Jesus. No, you ain't. Because we couldn't make it one day without his grace and compassion. We couldn't make it one step without his grace and his compassion and his mercy. You see, I don't know about you, but I need him. I need my dad. I need my father. And I know sometimes a fatherless generation, which is a lot of the generation that we serve, we preach to hundreds and hundreds of them behind the walls that were raised in a fatherless home. They didn't have a role model. They didn't have someone to model grace. They didn't have someone to model compassion. They didn't have someone to model forgiveness. They didn't have someone to model these powerful attributes to us. Dedication and commitment and loyalty. They didn't have that. But I remember what the writer said, where he said, I'm going to restore that generation. I'm going to turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers. Do you understand what I said? You know what? Not only does that have physical ramification, not only does that apply to us physically and naturally, that God is restoring that. He restored that in my life. Yes. He turned the heart of a son back to the heart of his father. And remember the story I said earlier. I said we walked in different paths, but grace and compassion restored that. And listen, not only did we get to walk together, but we served Jesus together. We worship together. We worship together. Where are you today? We worship together. We worship God together. Some of my greatest memories when my dad was those years. I remember him standing up behind a pulpit and singing his favorite song, How Great Thou Art. And he had a big boisterous voice. He wasn't always on note or tune, but he sung it just like he was George Beverly Shea. He sung it with all of his heart. And I remember that. That was his favorite song among my many songs. But God restored that relationship. And when we started pastoring our first church, the same church that we came in, and he moved, him and my mother moved, or he moved to, where they both attended a little Baptist church in the community that we came up in. And when we came to pastor, they moved with us. Simply means they drove every day. Not only did he come and support ministry there, he poured his heart into it. That little church up on the hill where we used to be, a lot of that church, especially that youth center, and a lot of the church was helped by him in reconstructing and remodeling that facility. And that light, that cross, and the gable end of the front of the church, that blue cross that used to light up blue. Let me tell you, he went all the way to Cincinnati, Ohio to get special glass just for that. Listen, my dad wasn't perfect, but he loved Jesus. Did he mess up? Yes. Most dads do mess up. I was all but the powerful thing. He and I said two or three short stories, okay? And I'm not just preaching a sermon about my dad, but I am preaching a sermon today about compassion. But my dad would support us, and we were in revivals all over the country. We pick up our little kids at that time, Kathy, we were both young, and we'd pick up our children. They were raised in church. They were brought up. We went, took them with revivals and meetings all over the country. We never winked an eye. We didn't say, well, my kid's not in a mood today. Don't believe I can take him to church. Listen, they went whether they were in the mood or not. Okay? If they weren't in the mood, they got in the mood. Okay? Sometimes they weren't in the mood and they fought in the back seat. Oh, and Heath was always older, so he trumped. You know, he was the bigger guy, so he usually dominated. But Jenny was scrappy too, but sneaky. But my dad supported all of those meetings. And I'm thankful for dad that God restores his compassion. God is in the business of restoring, putting people's lives back together. That's why I am blessed. Don't look at me, and I'm not saying you are here, but I've had people throughout the years look at my family and be mad and jealous because we serve Jesus together. Listen, you don't know our backstory. You don't know where we came from. Wrap your heart fully about the grace and compassion of God. Maybe God will do the same thing in your life. Amen. Because we serve the same God, the same Jesus, who's full of mercy and compassion. And as a father shows compassion toward his children, the Lord shows compassion toward us. But we were on different planets. As a young teenager, Jenny was leading worship at the church down in next to Coburn that in 1990 my wife and I moved to, and God revolutionized our lives, turned our lives around. There are a lot of powerful things there, but she was younger than Jenny. Heath and Heath was a little bit older, and he was a little bit more resistant because he was raised in the old family church, and he wasn't thrilled a lot of times about going to this new church, and he wasn't about it. He told his mommy he wasn't about it, but he went. And then Jenny, she got a hold of some of this, and God poured worship, the dynamics of worship, even as a young teenager, because she truly had a heart. Heath did too, but he wasn't there yet. But God did powerful things. But you see, we and all that experience that happened, but then Jenny got older, and she got married, and she moved away. And she got into stuff, okay? She got into some drugs, and she got into things, and she got into a lifestyle, her and her husband. He took his path, and you know, he went to college, and also, and Jenny went to nursing school, and they did all those things, and he went to law school, and they were sort of in different places. And as he said, alluded to sometimes in messages that he's preached, we'd come together for, you know, like Christmas and Easter and have dinner, but there was an awkwardness. There was an awkwardness. Have you even ever been with your real family and there be an awkwardness? Not that you didn't love the people there. Not that you didn't love your kids. Not that you didn't love them. But there was an awkwardness there because your hearts were not in the same place. Your hearts were not in the same place. So God was full of mercy and compassion. And we prayed, Kathy and I prayed throughout the years, God, restore our family. And I declared and spoke Isaiah 60, where God said that the word that I speak unto you would not depart from you, your seed or their seed, from here forward. You see, I believe that. And I believe that not only God had called us, but he had called our family. He had called our family. He had called our family to serve God and minister together. You see, God calls families to serve and worship to God together. Maybe we're not all always in the same spot or the same place. But if you'll hang on and you'll trust Jesus and you'll dedicate your life, commit your life to him wholeheartedly. Listen, I believe that God can do things that nobody else, not even you, can do. God's full of compassion. And he'll restore. And so God put us back together. And now we serve Jesus together. And some of my greatest moments in my life, I'm blessed, Kathy. You and I are blessed that because we get to minister, partner with our kids. And listen, I don't want anybody to feel bad because they're here and you're not there yet. And maybe your kids are not there yet. And I don't want you to feel bad. But I speak that so you can have hope. Wow. You sure can. Turn that on because they can't hear you. Oh, goodness. Started probably in the early 80s. Started praying for that. And prayed to 2010 when God brought these kids back home. He'll do it. He'll do it. Don't ever forget that he'll do it. He'll do it, John. He'll do it. I know you're blessed. When you see your daughter dancing with Jesus next to you and see some of the roads that she's been down before. Ah, truly. And all of us can relate to that. There's a lot of people in here can relate to that. That God is in the business of putting people's lives together. Lord, this has gone a total different direction. A total different direction. But God will restore the hearts of the children. Remember I said in the natural sense, he can do that. So if your kids are wayward today, or if your parents are wayward, don't give up hope. Keep praying and keep believing. Keep yourself committed to Jesus. Because they'll all eventually come back home, Steve. They'll come back home. They'll come back home. That's why when they're not where you are, you've got to be like my dad did. You've got to sometimes turn the light around and say, come on, kids. I'm waiting on you. Catch up. And he shines a light. He's working, Keith. He's working, brother. He's working. We've shared stories. You've shared stories. Similarities there, but different planes. But listen, he's turned the light around. And he's waiting on you to catch up. He's waiting on you to catch up. The Heavenly Father is waiting on you to catch up. Come on, kids. Come on. I'm shining a light for you. Watch it. The road's rough. But I'm shining the light for you. Watch. There's danger there. But I'm shining the light for you. You don't know where you're going. So you got to hurry and catch up. Because you don't know the things that I know. You don't know the things that I know. God knows where you are today. He knows everything about you. He knows more about yourself than you could ever dream of knowing about yourself. He knows, David said, he knows my downsetting and my uprising. He knows my in and he knows my out. He knows my up and he knows my down. He knows what I need. He's a faithful Father to me. That's why God can always meet my need, because guess what? He always knows my need. Amen. Come on, somebody help me out this morning. You all going to sleep this quick? Lord Jesus, give them a shock treatment right now. So, wow. Thank you, Lord. He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way I take. He knows the way that I take. He goes before me and sets me in the path of his righteousness. He goes before me and sets me in the right path. And he does. The Father does that. He goes before us. The Bible said he goes before us and behind us. He's our front guard and he's our rear guard. He don't only have you covered up here, but he's got you covered back there. How many knows that? God's got you covered here and he's got you covered back there. So I'm going and coming. Guess what? Dad's got me. Dad's got me. Dad's got you. Dad's got you, Henry. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. So it is true. He steps before us. And then he says, follow my steps. So Proverbs said, there is a way that seems right to a man. Guess what? I've been on that way before. I've been that way. Can I tell you? A lot of the counsel that I give you and pour in your life, it comes not from a book. It comes from a place of experience. I've been around the track a few times. I've been up the mountain a few times. I've been through the desert. I've been to the dry places. I've been in the struggles. I've been in the out. And I don't know it all. But what I do know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to impart into you and tell you that there is a way that seems right to you. But it doesn't mean that it's right. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, it seems like it's what you need at that moment. Oh, it's just what I need. It's just what I need. He's just what I need. She's just what I need. That's just what I need. But the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He's got your steps. Listen, you walk in the way of the Lord and your path, he'll lead you in a straight path, a right path. But when you start walking down this way, there's a way that seems right to me, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, for years, we scared people with that verse. Just means there's no life down that path. There's no life down that path. There's no life down that path. There's no fruitfulness down that path. There's no good things down that path. And let me say this. A heavenly Father, a loving Father knows that. Just like my dad, my earthly dad, even though he wasn't perfect, he wasn't perfect, and his heart maybe wasn't aligned always to God, but at that moment, he was telling me the right thing, but I didn't want to hear it because I wanted to do my own thing. And you know what? Today, there are people right now, I hope not, there could be people today doing this. Okay, I'm going to have the operator. It'll work. So today, actually through the years, down through the decades, ministering, and the Holy Spirit giving a word, I've seen people fight conviction. I've seen people run from their father. I've seen people be in a place of dysfunction where they didn't want to hear the counsel of their heavenly father. And maybe they didn't have earthly parents. I don't know. Because all of us here today, in some way, maybe we can't necessarily relate to all this. Because maybe you didn't grow up with a father. Or maybe there was, and maybe there was dysfunction. Or maybe you didn't grow up with a mother. I don't know. But let me say this to you. You've always had the covering of the Heavenly Father. And maybe I've heard people say, well, If God loved me, then why did this happen? Or if God loved me, why did that happen? Life does happen. And sometimes it's hard to explain. And sometimes, you listen, I went through an early kid and suffered a lot of things. And I'm going to be real right now. I had suffered sexual abuse, not from my parents, but I suffered from sexual abuse, and that messed with me. That really messed with me. But I didn't have anybody to communicate that with. I had nobody to communicate that with. And I've said, and that tailspin me in earlier life to just to my life being all messed up. I don't know. Maybe you've never been there before. Maybe you don't even relate, can't relate to what I'm saying. But I'm saying today, I've asked the Father, I've asked the Heavenly Father, I said, I've asked God, and I've said, God, I said, God, why did I go through that? Let me tell you what the Lord said. Said, had you not gone through that, you would have not had the level of compassion toward those who had gone through similar things or even worse things. Today, because God is a faithful God who can always be touched by the feelings of your infirmities, because God's been there. God knows what the pain of rejection is. He knows what the pain of suffering is. He knows what the pain of heartache is. He had to turn his back on his only son. He had to see his son die for those that didn't even love him or would curse him. God knew and related to all that. And so today, he relates to us. And sometimes I wonder, and I thought through the years, well, Lord, why did that happen? And sometimes things happen, but God redeems our lives. How many knows that? You know what that word means? Buy you back and restore to its intended purpose. So God, when my life was dysfunctional, and through a lot of my dysfunction, God redeemed me. He bought me. He brought me back. He restored my life. He restored my life with my parents and my dad. He restored my life with my children. He restored my life. And you know what? I've got a good woman. Oh, I'm telling you, I've got a good woman. Oh. Yeah. Josh, I know you think the same thing about yours, but listen, she's a good woman. I know she's a good woman. Oh, I know. For her to put up with me, Damar, for her to put up with me all these years and still love me, oh, that had to be true love. You can call it puppy love, because that's about what it was when we were kids. I'm sometimes ashamed to tell you how young I was when I got married. I was 17 and she just turned 16. And don't you dare do that. Your parents will stand up and put you on the right road. Don't you dare try or attempt that. That was a different time and a different place. But God's hand was upon us. And I didn't even know him, because he had my steps ordered. He knew the path that I take. And the Lord went before me. And even back then, in my knucklehead years, and I'm still a knucklehead. And some of you have gotten mad at me because I've called you a knucklehead. I can call you a knucklehead because I've been one, and I is one sometimes, okay? All right. But even way back then, Heath, the Lord knew this day. Oh, what a wonderful dad. Oh, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Woo, thank you, Lord. You ought to have something down inside of you that rises up and says, God, I've got nothing but deep appreciation for you, Lord. How you've kept me all these years and you've watched over me. Oh, has he watched over you? Oh, has he watched over you? Has he at times held a light to you, Damar, and says, come on, son, step up. Has he not made ways before you, Joe, pass and say, come on, son, step here? And we haven't always been about that. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying today. Because I've tried to pour my heart out to you. I had no earthly intention or no earthly even thought of going the way I'm going right now. So I know this was ordered by God, because somebody today needed to hear what the Lord's saying. What the Lord is saying. I'm going to close on a scripture here today. Lord, I love you. Sometimes I don't even feel right in telling the Lord I love him, because he said throughout my life, do you really love me? Do you love me only when it's convenient to love me? Do you love me when it's just sunshine and roses and blue skies? Do you love me through the bad times? Well, let me tell you, God, my Father, my Heavenly Father has loved Kathy and I through some of the most difficult times throughout our years. And he's a faithful Father. Remember the scripture that Kathy, and I haven't always been faithful to him. Come on. Are you with me today? Have you always been faithful to the Father? But God knows that. He knows our frame, the Bible says. He knows what we're made up of. He knows us. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows you. He knows you. And through all that, the Father chooses to love us through the most difficult times in life. Through the most difficult times in life, when nobody is there or nobody can be there or even understand the hurt that's in your heart. It's the love of the Father that moves close to you. And I'm telling you, he does this. I'm telling you that he does this. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you that the Father does this. He will move close to you. And he'll put his arms around you. Like a father does. The model father does. Earthly fathers, we've not always been there and done that. And I failed my children, and I failed my children in so many ways that I could just write books on the ways that I failed them. But there I see another level of redemption and grace. He brags on me all the time, but there were some difficult times back then. But, you know, he chooses not to talk about or think about those difficult times, and with Jenny too. But, you know, that's the way real love does. That's what real grace and love does. It covers a multitude of sins and transgressions, because we know our frame. We know our frame. We know that we're people, and people mess up. Come on, quit acting like you never mess up. People mess up. They come short. They miss the mark. But then Dad steps in. He says, I can fix this. I can fix it. I haven't been able to fix everything in my family before. I haven't always fixed things. And listen, I'm being real right now. So if this messes with you, then you can be excused, okay? I'm just being real right now. I haven't always been able to fix things. As a pastor, one of my great frustrations is because God constantly reminds me, you can't fix those things. You can't fix people. Only I can do that. If you'll bring them to me, I'll fix them. If you'll bring them to my grace and my compassion, then I'll fix them. There's people here today that's got things that need to be fixed in your life. Can I tell you that only God can fix those things? Only the Father, only the Heavenly Father can fix you. Fix us. Fix us as a people. Fill us with His love and compassion. You know all the problems that exist in this world today, because there's a planet full of God's children who are dysfunctional, who are hurt. There are people today hurting. Do you know that? Do you know you got neighbors that are hurting? Do you know you got friends that are hurting? Do you know that we got people around us that are hurting today? You say, well, I don't hurt like they do, so it don't bother me. But if we have compassion, it should bother us. It should hurt us. It hurts me when people hurt. I hurt when people hurt. You know why? Because that's like Dad. Dad hurts when you hurt. The Father hurts when you hurt. And today, and the word says in the scripture I started to say, this is where I'm ending today. Thank you, Lord. He said, when Jesus saw the multitudes, in Matthew 9, I think, when he saw the multitudes as having no shepherd, they were reckless. They were disconnected, disjointed. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were hopeless and lost. This is what Jesus said. Jesus was moved with compassion upon them. You see, compassion is more than telling somebody you love them. I mean, that's hard for some people because some people just don't like to do that. But you really need to do that. Can I tell you? You need to tell people you love them. Don't stand over their coffin and get cough up all this stuff. I love you. If you can't tell them you love them here, then just forget it. Love people here. Love your family. Love your kids. Love your friends. Love your spiritual family. Love God. Love those who God has entrusted over you. Love people. Love people. Because the Bible said he was moved with compassion to the point that he did something. Because true compassion will cause our heart to do something. Not just set and watch injustice, set and watch cruelty and hatred, but do something. pray, love people, reach out to people, connect with their hurt and their pain and their sorrow like Jesus does ours. He was touched by that. And he was touched by that. And he moved upon that. And the Bible said he healed them. Oh, wow. Woo! Healing is the bread of the Father. Do you know that? Healing. The bread of the Father is healing. He is the only one that truly can heal us. Amen. I love you. And I thank the Lord for this privilege. And that's true. We've been blessed that most of the years that we've been ministry together, that for some reason or another, God always works it out, that he ministers the Father's Day message. But today, I'm so thankful, Father, that you allow me this privilege to speak to the hearts of those that you love deeply today. Oh, there's nobody going to love you like Jesus. Listen, friend. Nobody going to love you like Jesus. Think about this, Caleb. Nobody going to put up with us like Jesus. Think about that. Now, I didn't say that to throw at you, okay? I'm just making a reference point. To Pastor R, nobody going to put up with me like Jesus. Can you think about that? Because he's patient and he's long-suffering toward us all, not willing that any of his children be lost. He works tirelessly. He moves tirelessly. He never sleeps. He's always got an eye watching out for you. All those years, brother, he's had an eye watching out for you. Everything that you've come through, the Father's watched out for you. Everything. Stephen, Charlotte, you've come through. The Father's watched out for you. He loves you today. Luke, he loves you, man. He can love you like nobody else can love you. So today, the Father's speaking today to his kids. Two last things. This may be you today. You're straggling behind. Are you listening to me? This is the time the enemy don't want you to listen to what I'm going to get ready to say, okay? So, this is the time the enemy don't want you to listen to what I'm going to say. Because the Father stands here today and he's holding the light for you. And you may be straggling behind, just sort of playing around, goofing off. You ever goofed off before? I don't hear that term anymore. But he's holding the light and he's saying, come on, kids, catch up. I know the hour. I know the time. I know how dark. I know how tough it is out there. I've been there. And I know the way. I know the way. So come on. I've got the light. And you catch up here, I'm going to give you the light. Woo! Did you hear what I said? Come on, kids, catch up. I'm going to give you the light. I'm going to give you the light. One of them Sissy Underwood things. I'll tell you a story about that one day. Some of you right there, Kathy. We've been lagging behind. There's some of us may be there today. We've just been lagging behind a little bit. Come on, be real with me. Don't always act like you're holy, sanctified, and ready to fly away right now any second. Come on. How many here needs grace? I want to see how many honest people we have in this room today. I said, how many needs grace in this room? If you know what it means, how many needs it? Grace is the unmerited favor of God toward you when you didn't even deserve it. When I didn't deserve it, God reached it to me. And some of us may be missing a step or two, and the Father's stepping ahead of us through all of our stuff, and he said, come on, I'll show you the right way. Come on. Some of you are wondering where the right way is. The Father's stepping ahead of you. He said, come on, step right here where I'm stepping. I'll lead you there. So we love Jesus today. Do you love Jesus? Do you love your Father? How many love him? I want you right now. I want you right now for 30 seconds. 30 seconds. I want you, not because Pastor R tells you to. It ain't worth a hill of beans if that's why you do it. But I want you with all your heart to stand up in the face of your Father. Get in his lap or whatever you need to do and tell the Father today how much you love him today. Come on. Come on, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? He loves you. Love him back. Come on, he loves you. Love him back. Love him back. Love him back. Love him. He loves you. Tell him you love him. Do you love the God who gives you the breath to your breathing right now? Whoa, Jesus. Wow, how much I appreciate that breath. When you get old like me, you appreciate that breath a lot more. Amen? Because I don't know how long I'm going to be on this planet. And to be honest with you, if I can be real with you, neither do you. So love him. Come on, right now. I want you to love him right now.